Yes, he is. Isn't it good to be in church on Saturday night? What a privilege it is. We're so glad that you're here. Most of all, we're glad he's here. Because if all of us was here and he wasn't here, it'd just be a bunch of people got together. But when he comes on the scene, it's church time. Are you glad that you love him with all your heart? Are you glad he loves you more? Look at somebody and say, he loves you more. Oh, give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time.
Oh, he's an on-time God. Say praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Brother Jewel Forney is here. I want him to come tonight, get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of the prayer request. Brother Jewel, if you'll just come on to the platform right now. Have some requests. Please pray for a very urgent, unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about the need. We're just committed unto the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Candy Mann from Missouri. Who has been diagnosed with melanoma and requests that the church remember her in prayer. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation. Continue to pray for Brother Aaron Cobb. He is to go to Vanderbilt tomorrow for further tests. So we certainly want to remember him tonight as we pray. And we have a card of thanks from the Cobb family. It just says, Dear Church Family, we just want to thank everyone for their incredible outpouring of your love and all the things that you did, all the calls, the flowers, the food, the visits, the basket during Aaron's 15 days at the medical center. They're just overwhelmed by it, and they certainly want to express their thanks for you. We appreciate the Cobb family too, don't we? We certainly do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Burt will post this on the bulletin board out in the lobby. You can look at it further if you'd like to. And let me make this announcement.
the family of Allison Ball. They want to thank everyone who attended the wedding of Allison and James, and those who traveled, and those who helped and gave of their time to make this possible. We love you and appreciate all of you. May God bless. Well, we appreciate the Ball family too, don't we? We certainly do. Amen. Well, we appreciate this guy right here too, don't we? Amen. Come pray.
Praise the Lord. Let us stand and we will pray for these requests this evening. I won't remember them all, but we all just take someone to heart. I got Brother Charlie on my heart. I went and prayed for him yesterday. And just everybody get somebody on your heart. But one thing I want you to do when you pray, I want you to ask God, and don't say to God, I want you to heal him. I want you to thank God for what he's already done. Hallelujah. If we asking God to heal him, then we don't believe he already done it. But he's already done healed. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, kind Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your great work at Calvary, Lord. And you said on the cross, it is finished, Lord. That means that sickness was finished. That means that cancer was finished. It would mean that heart trouble was finished. The work of redemption is finished. Hallelujah. It's been paid for. That healing been paid for. Oh, God, just give us faith. Hold on to your promises, God. Oh, God, we want to thank you, Lord, for raising up these requests. Those right here, we want to thank you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. I know the doctor might be saying one thing, but we looking through the eyes of God. It's already done. It's already a finished work tonight, Lord. Oh, God, we ask you right now, Lord, to bless the man of God tonight as he break the bread of life. Oh, God, bless everyone that's in this service, Lord. Let the songs that have been sung, let everything that we do tonight works in thee. We do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. You may be seated.
We got plans for you here just in a few minutes. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time to receive the evening offering, you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor tonight, and we have several visitors, we're so glad to have each and every one of you. Give our visitors a nice hand tonight, if you would. Praise the Lord. Glad to have you here. All those that will be streaming the service tonight, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Just good to be a Christian. Good to love the Lord. Good to be identified with God's people, isn't it? I'm glad of that. Amen. Let's sing a song tonight. What will it be when we all get together and don't have to say bye? Don't have to ever have to leave each other. What will it be when we get over yonder? It's going to be worth fighting for here to get there, isn't it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more real good hand clap of praise if you love him.
It's a country where no twilight shadows deepen. Unending day where night will never be.
Oh, yes.
It's a city where no storm clouds ever gather.
Oh, sing it to him, church.
Is just what heaven means.
Oh, let's sing with all of our heart now. Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glassy sea?
Forever.
Hallelujah. what heaven means to me.
Sing that chorus.
Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glassy sea?
Sing that verse again for me, Brother Harry. We've got some folks here from Arizona. I want you to come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing while we do this verse to this song. If you're part of that group, come onto the platform real quickly while we just wait on you. We look forward to hearing you sing tonight. Let's give them a nice hand as they come to sing for you tonight. Sing that verse for me.
And when at last we see the face of Jesus,
oh yes,
before whose image of love's all flee, and when they crown him Lord of all, I'm gonna be there. Cause this is just what heaven means to me.
Oh, sing the chorus.
God bless you. Give our singers a nice hand as you're seated tonight.
I started out to win this race, to serve the Lord and to look upon His face. But the way has been long and the way has been rough. But there's one thing for sure, I've got my mind made up. I've got my rock, and my mind's made up. from the bitter cup. When the devil comes a-knocking, she'll be an easy way. I stand right square on my feet. I throw my head in the air. I look him straight in the eye. I say my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through the lonely valley, though I drink from the bitter cup, when the devil comes a-knocking, show me an easy way. I stand right square on my feet. I throw my head in the air. I look him straight in the eye. I say my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. I stand right square on my feet. I throw my head in the air. I look him straight in the eye. I say my foot's on the rock. I say my foot's on the rock and my mind's made
Arkansas. He'd been in the hospital for quite a few days, and I called him this morning. He told me, said, Brother Jewel, I've been running around the thing for five, whatever he was doing, I guess derpy or whatever. He said, I've been around five times. He said, I'm getting ready, the walls getting ready to fall down. Y'all, let's keep it right. Praise God. I like to hear a man talk like that. You know, don't talk about death around me. Let us talk about life. Hallelujah. You said, Brother Jewel said, but I might die. But see, Christians don't die. So that is not it, ought to even be the word we never should even mention. I'm going to die. How can we sing the song, I'm not going to die, I'm going to fly away? Amen. Great Lord. I got one song, you know it. Won't it be a time? Somebody, I just come up the steps here in a few minutes and I seen a young man. He had a limb missing when I went to shake his hand. I thought about that. I said, you know, one these morning, he going to raise that hand up for the last time. And that limb will be made perfect again. Won't it be a time then? Hallelujah. Well, I said, won't it be a
time?
Come on, let's sing this song. Should I beat it? And I don't need it no more. My body's a chain. I said, won't it be a
time?
my loved one come back. I'm ready to see my loved one. I'm ready to see the one that we love so much. I'm ready to see John Key come back again. I'm ready to see Brother Homer Frazier come back. I'm ready to see that resurrection of Brother Dan Daisley come back again. Won't it be a time?
I said, won't it be?
Talk about it so much, I'm sure that our minds cannot even comprehend what lays ahead of us as the people of God. Great times that we have together now, fellowshipping around the Word, and yet we all have to go our ways and we'll separate, but what a time it'll be. None of us will get tired. That sweat you saw on his face, it won't be there. Nobody be weary, nobody be upset, nobody be in a hurry. We've been there for a million years and we're not looking to go anywhere else. Can you imagine nobody will be bored? Nobody. Nobody will be bored. They won't be looking for any place else to go. I want to go to such a place. So nice to have each of you with us tonight. So grateful for all the visitors that come. We so appreciate that. We're going to ask Brother Ron if he'll just come and bring to us tonight what the Lord's placed in our hearts. We're living in an awesome time, aren't we? It's a wonderful time. It's a terrible time. It's a terrible time of darkness, sickness, trouble, politically, Everywhere you look, the world is in a terrible, terrible shape. But for you, little bride, it's not good night. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Amen. Whatever your need is tonight, the Lord Jesus is mindful of it. He's the only one that could be able to take a gift in a man's life and be able to lead that man in the direction and custom fit a sermon. They'd be able to meet all the needs of the visible audience, and the visible invisible audience is even more than what you see, those that are streaming. But I believe the Lord Jesus is that mindful of us tonight. Amen. So whatever you have need of, you pull on the gift of God. You just believe that God is mindful of you and that God will speak to you. Certainly an honor for us to be able to have Brother Ron Peterson with us. We've known one another for many, many years and been friends. And so appreciate and love Brother Ron, the work that the Lord's gave him in Arizona there. I'm just so happy to have so many of the saints there. Brother Ron, obey the Lord.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all this evening. I greet you in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Certainly a privilege to be here with you once again. I had asked one of the brothers there if he'd look up in their history here of when the last time I was here. And he said July the 5th, 2005. So, 2005. So what's that? Add it to, let me see. You got to take my shoes off, maybe count here. Anyway, we're just happy to be here back in Happy Valley. Amen. Everybody happy in Happy Valley? Amen. 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 I want to thank Brother Donnie for opening his pulpit to us, and most of all for his confidence in us as a minister. And I have to apologize to my folks that are here because they have to hear their pastor instead of hearing Brother Donnie. And I told Brother Donnie I would rather be sitting out there and just got my feet under his table and everything, but it's fallen our lot here, and so we'll just do what we can. We're not anybody great or anybody special, but we do love the Lord, and I thank Him for what He's done in my life. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Our kind and most precious Heavenly Father, as we come before You once again, O God, and we open these sacred pages that were penned by men who were moved by the Holy Ghost. And Father, men with intellect and an education, they can read the words that are written on the pages of this Bible. But it takes the Holy Spirit to make the Bible alive to us. To open our eyes of understanding that we could see You. How can we love a God who we do not know? How can we serve a God unless He reveals Himself to us? So Father, I pray, once again by the foolishness of preaching, would You come down and touch lives, Lord, and draw us closer to Your kingdom. We thank You and we love You. We ask these things for Your glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 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 Thank you. Yes. I think I'll just keep my jacket on until I get getting real hot, and then I'll just hand it to somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go right to our Bibles tonight. God bless you all. Remain standing. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 22, and then we'll go to Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. Amen. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 22. Now, I want you all to relax. I don't want you to be nervous. So I'm nervous enough for everybody in here. It's always that way. Everybody asks, they even ask Brother Donnie, do you ever quit being nervous? You got to be kidding. It's horrible. here. But, nevertheless, all right. I am a fool for Christ. I wouldn't do this for nobody except Him. Amen. Amen. Mark 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." He didn't preach a great sermon. Said just a few sentences. When God speaks to your heart, there's something that must respond to His voice. Because you were ordained to hear His voice. And imagine now, imagine, that's all he does, is he just speaks a few words, and watch what happens. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. When he speaks, he has authority. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down. And he taught the people out of the ship. And now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said in him, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when he had this done, they enclosed the great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they said, "Come and help them." And they came and filled both of the ships, so that they began to sink. Be careful what you ask for. You may get more than you can handle. Your cup will overflow. God knows how to give good gifts. And Simon Peter saw it. And he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were the partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray a blessing upon it. Anoint our eyes of understanding, Lord, that we can see you in the scripture. Let us see the picture within the picture. Let us see what other eyes cannot see. Let us hear what other ears cannot hear. And we'll be certain to give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, musicians, and all of you, and the song specials. Amen. Got my foot on the rock, and my mind's made up. Hallelujah. And when we get over there, won't it be a time? Amen. It won't be a song. It'll be an event. It'll be a happening. Amen. I'd like to title my sermon this evening, "And It Came to Pass." And I want to take as a subject or a direction for this evening is the changing of Peter's method of fishing in the third pull. 1962, Brother Branham said, "Be not afraid." He says, "Now I also come to throw my net in with these brethren." Now, you know, each one of us is fishermen. And the Lord told a fisherman one time, he said, to follow him, be fishers of men. And that's what's here on the platform tonight, is fishers of men. And we stand on the corner somewhere in our church and we cast out the net through the neighborhood. Gather all that we can, bring in every sinner, no matter what position he's in, and try to bring him to Christ. Well then, there comes a time when we want to reach way out. So we put all of our nets together so we can go way out and get a big rake. And that's what we're here for tonight. I just knitted my net in the fellowship of love around my brethren. And their net to seine way out through Los Angeles, Happy Valley. I just had to add that in there. And see how many souls we can get for Christ. That's the purpose of being here. We know in the seining you get everything coming, but there's some out there that's going to be fished just as sure as the world. And God will take them. And so tonight is a preach on, and it came to pass. I want you to think about this, because when it says, "And it came to pass," it's a small sentence with just a few words, but everything in your life will be encompassed or enveloped in these words, "And it came to pass." And so you just bear with me tonight as I kind of make myself go a little slowly. Sometimes I hear Brother Donnie once in a while on the internet, and I'll stream a service or something, and he preaches faster than I can listen. And I said, that anyway, praise the Lord. So we all have our gifts, and we all have our ways and our mannerisms. And it's been a while since we've preached here and stuff, so you just get comfortable, and I'll try to get comfortable. But in the Bible, the phrase, "it came to pass," is used 457 times. The first time it is used in Genesis 4, verses 1 through 3. "And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." Now there's two portions of scripture here that spoke to my heart. And that is, in the process of time, and it came to pass. So, we see that since the time in the Garden of Eden, that we're in this process of time. Time don't stop for nobody. Time is constant. Time just keeps ticking. Time was created. The prophet of God said that he could go ahead at one time and envelop everything which is called sin and take it, because one of the last things that's going to be destroyed is time. There'll be no watches over there. There'll be nothing that will conflict your mind. I'm one of these guys that I'm always mindful of the time. When I tell somebody I'm going to be there at 7 o'clock, I'm there at 7 o'clock, or I'm usually early. My wife never wants to be early, so she makes me sit in the car. I said, honey, it's 2 minutes to 7. Nope. 7. Well, I'm one of these guys that like to be early. And anyway, that's just my makeup, and it can be a trouble to you, because you know you're just aware of time, and I'm very much aware of time right now. I can see a clock right here in front of me, one up there. I got one on my wrist. So I'm gonna try to go through this. But Brother Branham said, "In Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." 1955. I truly believe that we're entering into the greatest time this world has ever seen. I certainly believe that there's coming a time. Won't it be a time? And it's at hand and now. Of God going to make himself manifested, the greatest he's ever done in all ages. This is the ending of time. Time will be no more one of these days. We're coming out of eternity, stepped into a little, and Brother Branham uses this word, time-space. He said we stepped out of eternity into this little time-space and stepped back then into eternity and was before there ever was a world. Then we came into the world and we go out of the world back into the unknown to us now. Time is something that God created. Brother Branham calls it a little glitch in eternity. He calls it time space. 1956, the sermon Perfection, he picks it up again. Now this great chain of perfection was broken by time space. Time came because of sin. Let's draw a picture of time. Little perfect circle forever, forever. Then all at once sin dropped in, put a little, as my wife calls it, a little hickey or a little drop into the chain, so something comes down. Now eternity continues on, but it's not in its perfect condition. There's a little gap, comes down, breaks over this way, goes out that way. God had to do that because Satan caused it. And it dropped down into a space of time for the trying and for the perfecting and for the purging of the lost. God does everything with a purpose. There is nothing but what God does that he's got a purpose. He don't do nothing just to do it. He don't waste time. Everything that God does, he's got a purpose. Everything that he does, it's got a reason. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in this phrase of, and it came to pass, it's just five words, but within those five words envelops everything that you're going to go through in your Christian experience. Because we can say from the time of your birth, from being born again, and it came to pass. Right? And it came to pass, you got baptized. It came to pass, you started going to church. It came to pass, you started serving God. It came to pass that you were taken up in a rapture. Everything has a time and a season. God went from being the God of the Old Testament, a God above us, down to the God with us, until the God in us. So everything is changing. You see, and it came to pass indicates that God is moving. He's on the move. How many of you realize God is moving? He's constant. He's always moving. So if you're not moving with God, you're backsliding. So you've got to move as He moves. You've got to have it unfold as it unfolds to you. Your revelation should be getting greater. Your understanding should be getting greater. The picture should be coming clearer. Amen. Brother Branham said, you watch, these tapes will become clearer and clearer. And he wasn't talking about filtering out the noise. He was talking about understanding. How many of you say, my understanding is far greater than it's ever been? Brother Branham said, you watch all the inventions of time. It's just showing you that there's something in the supernatural realm that's going on also. Because he said, when they began to show these inventions and these new things, he said, God's already doing it in the supernatural. And I thought, you know, the Bible says that we saw him darkly as through a glass. But he says now we see him as face to face. We have gone from the granular pictures of the old black and white television to color to now it's called high definition. Hallelujah. You know what God is doing right now with His bride? He's in HD realm. It is high definition. He's showing you every little detail. Nothing is left undone. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everything around you, everything that you come into contact with is moving. Your life, your job, your body, your marriage, your career, your Christian walk, your church, your car. Everything's moving. Everything's in transition. And if you're not comfortable with change, you're going to be really uncomfortable, because let me tell you, God is constantly moving. He's telling you to come up higher. He's asking you to get more sincere. If the prophet of God was told by the angel of the Lord, you need to be more sincere. And as long as you hold on to that first pull, the second pull can't come. Come on, you know your message. And he says, don't get your line all tangled up in times like these. Now, what excites me about this scripture that I read, it says that Jesus, he got into a boat, and it doesn't say, and it says, when he left speaking, doesn't even tell you the sermon. Doesn't even give you the subject. It says, and when he left speaking, wait a second. I don't want to hear about Peter. I don't want to hear about these other guys. I don't want to hear about nets. I want to hear from the Lord Jesus. But when he left speaking, listen to me now. Sometimes the picture is not in what he said. It's in what he does. Amen. You see, they never recorded what he said, but they recorded what he did. We have 1,100 sermons of what he said, but it's what he did that speaks volumes to us. Amen. Brother Branham's ministry is greater now than it was when he preached it. There are more message believers now than there's ever been. Oh yes, I understand there's some falling away this and that, but they were never really true believers, because if you're a true believer, you can't fall away. Once you got a revelation, you got a revelation. Oh, You might struggle. You might have a problem. You might do a mistake, but you'll never fall away. It's impossible. They never had revelation. They had logic and man's interpretation and opinion and Bible teaching. But what they lack is Holy Ghost revelation. Once you get Holy Ghost revelation, upon this rock I will build my church. You can take away the man, but you cannot silence the voice. You can take away the messenger, but you'll never stop the message. Amen. And it came to pass. Listen, you're either in a trial or you're coming out of a trial. You're either coming into something or you're going out of something. You're always in transition. Amen. And it came to pass. Show me who you associate with. It'll show me the direction you're going. Who you associate defines your destiny. Birds of a feather. Who you choose to be in your circle of friends shows me which way you're heading. You will never rise higher in God until you choose the values that God values. Do you value what God values? Do you love what God loves? Do you do what God did? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. This will never be taught to you in your school. They'll never teach you that in the university. But you cannot serve God until you love God's people. You cannot love God until you love God's people. Brother Branham says God would rather have you love one another than to love Him. Because when you love one another, you're loving Him. You say, well, I'm kind of insignificant. I don't have much. God don't need much. He just needs a little of what you got. You understand that? He just needs a little bit of what you got. And Peter had a boat. He said, Peter, can I borrow your boat? You see, God, when He does something, He's got to have a platform. So the boat was a platform that He used. God's got something in your life that He wants to use as a platform. He says, will you let me use it? Well, I'm nobody. I'm nothing big. There is something in your life that God wants to use. Why? He's interested in you. He died for you. Amen. Everything you go through, God will use as a platform. Whether it's good or bad. Bible says for all things will work together for the good. Didn't say they would be good. He said He'll use them for the good. God will use it for His platform. Lazarus died, so God used his death as a platform. He died that God might show His glory. Lazarus was just a platform that God was going to use. Moses saw a burning bush. He was going to use this burning bush experience as a platform to start an exodus. Everything in your life, God will use as a platform. There is nothing what you go through, but God says, I'm going to use it. I'm going to take failures and I'm going to make you fail forward. You're not going to go backward. You're going to fail forward. You're going to learn by your mistake. God. Come on. We've all made mistakes. We've all done it. But God says, okay, I know you did it and I know you didn't mean it. But I'm going to use it for my glory. After Jesus was rejected and crucified, his ministry changed and became greater. Except a corn of wheat die. It abides alone. Little did they know that laying within that seed gene of God, if they would have known what would have happened, that they crucify him and put him in a grave, that it would multiply and it would birth millions. Because except the corn of wheat die, it abides alone. If Satan would have known that, he'd have guarded him. Oh, don't touch your toe against that stone. Oh, no, don't get too close to the cliff. He'd have guarded him. But Satan, he don't have revelation. So he didn't have no idea. He thought he could stop the music. He silenced it. All he had to do was keep it there for 4 days. And on the third day, saints of God, you cannot stop God. Let me say this. You can't stop God working in your life. You make mistakes, you do failures and everything. God is going to keep moving. And if you fall down and you make mistakes, he's just going to teach you. You got to learn to walk before you run. Amen. God will use what you got if you'll let him. Everything you have in your life, God will use as his platform. Jesus needed a platform to preach from that morning. Peter had something that Jesus needed. Can I use your boat? The boats, now listen, the Bible says the boats were empty and the fishermen had left their boats and they were done fishing and they had caught nothing. They were washing their nets. They were done fishing. They had fished all night. They had toiled and labored and they got nothing. Nothing. I can imagine they're fishermen. Well, I'll tell you what. I ain't caught nothing here, but I got a honey hole over there that I'll tell you what, it's never let me down. So Peter and them, they row on over there. Okay, boys, cast your nets in here because this place is always produced. They bring up the net, they ain't got nothing. Somebody say nothing. Sometimes God wants you to get nothing so he can produce something. God lets you fail. And your failure produces nothing. And God says, okay, are you done? Are you done trying? Have you exhausted all your resources? Have you done everything to bring it to pass and you still got nothing? Somebody say there's coming a change. Yeah, yeah. You ain't seen nothing yet. See, change is coming. He was going to transition Peter's mind from failure. See, God uses your failure and lets you try and you get nothing. And then he says, okay, Now I want you to do as I tell you to do. You see the transition coming? You see him changing his method? Oh, Lord, you know, we have fished all night. I've tried every lure. I have done everything I can, and we didn't even get a bite. Nevertheless, let me tell you, saints of God, God will tell you to do something when you got nothing. And you will say, I tried and I tried and I tried. And he said, that's the problem. You were trying. Now let me do it. He's going to transition how they fish and what they catch. Third pull is always associated with fishing. Brother Branham said in a sermon, What is the Vision, 1956? He said, oh, tie on the lure. I snapped the lure on. Now throw it way out. Listen close. Way out into the deep. And when you do, let the lure sink down. Then said, pull it slow. Now that's real fisherman's technique. He says, and then when you do, you feel some nibbles at it, but don't tell nobody what you're doing. Keep it to yourself. Some people can't keep a secret. He says, I felt a nibble again, pull a little bit, but too hard. He said, then you'll pull it away from the little fish, and when they scatter, you'll attract the big fish, and then they'll grab it. That's the way you'll catch it, see? Then when they bite on that third time, set your hook for the catch. The first pull, Healy, he said, that got their attraction. He said, second pull, discernment. Behold an Israelite in whom there is no God. When did you know me? When I saw you under the fig tree, I said, Rabbi, Rabbi. He says, you call me Rabbi, you call me Master, because I told you where you... He said, greater things shall you see. Saints of God, there are far greater things than the healing and the discernments. Where were all those people? Where are they today? He told them their name, their sickness, where they're from. But that didn't catch them. You weren't there. Let me tell you, you were not a product of the first and second pull. Because greater is he who has not seen and believed. Don't tell nobody. He says, and you know what? I was disobedient to what the angel told me. He said, I got myself in trouble. One of these days, I'll tell you why we got all these carnal impersonations. He says, I did it. And I tried to tell him how to fish. Present stage of my ministry, 1962. And so far as I know, every vision that he's ever given to me has been fulfilled except the one that I'm to have a change in my ministry. Listen to this. Or to where I'm to pray for people in a little place like a little room under a tent or a big auditorium or something. Look to me like a tent. Remember, 2 or 3 years ago, most all of it come to pass. Wait a second. Say all that he said. When you say all that he said, they get upset. He said most all of it brought to pass there in Mexico. And he told me, my ministry of the first bull, remember catching little bitty fish? He says, second one, small fish, but he says on the third bull, don't fail. Shh, don't tell him. People, I'm always trying to explain what I'm trying to do. Amen. In the seventh seal, he says, make your first pull. When you do, the fish will run after the lure. Then watch your second pull because there's only be small fish. He said, then the third pull will get it. Amen. Yes, sir. What is the third pull? Revealing of the word. Amen. When the word is revealed, that's what caught you. It was not the first and second pull. That only got your attraction. You come around and you began to nibble on this. Huh, that's interesting. That's good. Like this. But when you all of a sudden went, and then you thought you're going to get away from it. I have never met a fisherman that doesn't like a good fight. Yeah, when he sees that pull up. Yeah. He says, ooh, ooh. He starts getting excited. Ooh. Yeah, come on, baby. Come on, baby. Boom, boom, boom. And then all of a sudden, like, and that line goes to run it. Yeah, baby. He's a big one. I can tell. And then he begins to set to drag. You know what God does? He lets you run for a while. And you run. I don't want to go to church. So he begins to set the drag. And he starts getting you where you're tired. A fisherman loves a good fight. And you know what? Jesus said, I've not lost one. Can fight all you want. He's just going to set the drag. I don't want to. I don't know. I don't want to go to church. 2, 3, no. And you run. I'm done. Humble thyself, 1963. Like shoving out a boat. Let me tell you, it feels like they walk away. There's nothing more that I can do. He says, but when you run it down to the bank and persuade him, come on back. I've got to have that feeling, see, because I know there's somebody out there that hasn't come in yet. I'm going to fish until the last fish is caught. How many of you remember the vision of the third pull? He says, I'm looking for something to happen. You see, the sermon was not in what he said from the boat. But it's what he did after he left speaking. God hides a sermon sometimes in what he's doing. Look at the situation for a moment. Because the boats are empty, the men are washing their nets, they're done. They've toiled and labored and they've caught nothing. They have exhausted all of their human resources and they've got nothing. Their ministry is all washed up. It's finished. Failures. Peter was done. You know one thing about Peter? I really like that guy. Paul I can't really relate to because he don't make many mistakes. But Peter, I relate to. Because he's a, you'll not wash my feet. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Well, then my head and my hands, just give me a bath. You see, he was a big, burly, ignorant man. But he loved God with a fervency. They'll all leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hey, Peter, before the sun rises. And the cock crows, you'll deny me 3 times. You ever failed him? I relate to Peter. Because my name is Ron, son of Peter. I've made a lot of mistakes. One thing about it, I'm still fighting. I'm still going, huh? You see, God doesn't want a quitter or a compromiser. God sometimes lets you become a failure in what you're doing so He can transition you away from your talent and from your human ability. And the prophet of God said, what each one of you have got to overcome is the thought of human ability. God wants you to go deeper. He wants you to launch out into deeper waters. He said, you're fishing too shallow. The fish have gone deeper. The reason your nets are not full, you're fishing shallow. God's talking to somebody tonight. Listen to me. Peter, are you listening? Because sometimes you feel like quitting because what you've been trying is catching nothing. You feel like giving up. I'm done with all of this. I have labored and toiled. I have tried. I have labored. I have put all of my effort into it. And I got nothing. Sometimes God wants you to get nothing. So He can show you. It's not the way you fish. I'm going to transition you. I've been going to church. I've been laboring. I've been laboring with my wife and my kids and my job. And I've been laboring with my flesh. And I have got nothing. Are you listening? I'm going to tell you tonight. You're fishing too shallow. You're reading too little. You're praying too little. You ain't sincere enough. You got to go deeper. You're superficial. Little prayer, little blessing. No. Go deeper. Amen. Peter's experience as a fisherman had told him he was a failure. But God has to fight through your failures and your own life experience because all of that is working against you. You have to go deeper. You have to let go and let God. Don't quit. God had to fight through all of his experiences to let him become a failure so he could teach him to go deeper. Amen. What you see with your eyes and what you understand with your carnal mind will hinder you many times from going deeper. Are you willing to listen to what God is telling you? Are you willing to keep investing in something that looks like a failure? Abraham, are you willing to keep sowing seed into a barren womb? There was nothing wrong with Abraham's seed. He had been preaching and sowing seed all these years. And she was there and she was receiving seed. Are you with me? She was receiving seed, but no conception. How many people go to church and receive seed, hear sermon after sermon, and then you don't conceive? The Bible says in Hebrews 11, and Sarah received strength by faith to conceive seed. There was nothing wrong with Abraham's seed. It was because Sarah was not in a position. And so God said, are you done? Yes, my womb is dead. And your husband, he's as good as dead also. And he said, are you done? Are you done? Yes. We're both dead. Sometimes God wants you to hit a dead end. He wants you to come to a complete failure, and I can't do it. Because all things are possible with God. Are you done, Abraham? Yes, I'm done. And he said, that's just where I want you. Are you listening to me? You see, sometimes the devil tries to tell you, you ain't what you should be. And you ain't there and you don't see the great exploits and you're this and that. And you see failures and things ain't getting better, they're getting worse. Where is it? Let me tell you, saints of God, when it looks impossible, God is fixing to move on the scene. He said there's going to be a short, quick work of the bride. Amen? So don't quit. Don't give up. Just let go and let God. Abraham had to believe in something that wasn't working. God sometimes has to fight through all of your experience. Through all that you know what to do. Until you finally let go and you trust Him. Launch out into the deep tonight. You've been fishing in the shallows too long. Nevertheless, at thy word, O Lord, I'm going to let down my net. Peter had labored and toiled, and he was ready to give birth to a whole new ministry because he was pregnant with something. See, when a woman's pregnant, she realizes she's got life inside of her. Guess what? She takes selfies. This little bump, look at it, getting bigger. But when she's 9 months, I'm tired of this bump. I ain't comfortable. I don't feel good. I want deliverance. I'm tired of all this. Tired of being pregnant. Oh my. And it came to pass. In order to get more fish, you have to go deeper. Quit washing your nets. Quit leaving your boats empty. Quit looking at the natural. Quit looking at your abilities and your experience. God is fixing to resurrect new life from something that's dead. He's transitioning from barrenness to life. God waits until you're through expecting it to happen. God waits until you're done trying. In closing, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes they had taken. And so also James, John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Amen. See what he was doing? He's changing his method of fishing. He had toiled for a very long time and got nothing. I've been preaching. I ain't getting hardly no converts. It just, you know, the more I preach, I ain't getting nothing. But God told Peter, he says, Peter, hang on, I'm going to make you fishers of men. So the first time that he went fishing after he got the Holy Ghost, men and brethren, what do we do to be saved? And he said that great spokesman, Peter, stood up, having been filled with the Holy Ghost. Men and brethren, this same Jesus whom you have crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. And he began to preach, and a 15-minute sermon produced 3,000 fish. realize, Peter, I'm teaching you to not rely on your ability. Even Brother Branham said, it looked like my ministry was all washed up. He said, I'm not going back into world evangelism. Doors are closing everywhere. Full gospel businessmen are saying, we don't want nothing to do with you. And then when the doors are closing on earth, there was one opening in heaven. You see, when you're getting pressure from all sides, when hell is coming up from the beneath, and pressure from this side and that side, and there's only one way. You take a tube of toothpaste and you squeeze it. Look out, because she's ready to... Brother Branham said, in present stage of my ministry, musicians, if you want to come, I close with this quote. 1962, in that dark hour, mid rending rocks and darkening skies, said the poet, my Savior bowed his head and died. The opening veil revealed the way to heaven's joys, an endless day. He had to do that in order to make a way for us. That's right. But what did he do? He was true to the word, and he embraced the cross. But what was it at the end of his ministry? Was his ministry washed up? God crowned it with the greatest crown he could have ever crowned it with. He crowned it on the Easter morning. On that resurrection, he crowned the ministry of our Lord Jesus. He raised him from the dead and is alive forevermore. He wasn't washed up because all men forsook him. He was crowned. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He was crowned because that's what he was. He had been forsaken. But he must do that when he raised him up from the dead. He said, watch that third pole. Shh. How many of you know that many times Jesus revealed himself to some, and then he commanded them to tell no man? You ever tried to give somebody a revelation? You ever tried to talk them into it? Yeah, you can't. Might as well beat your head on the wall. You can't. So, you don't talk somebody into it. Because if you talk somebody into it, somebody will talk them out of it. Right? Somebody with a little more intellect, a little this and that, and you know. No man talked me into this. It was revealed to me by the Holy Ghost. And I don't care all of these believe the signs and all of this and all of the nonsense that these guys, and they're trying to, you cannot scientifically prove nothing about God. I remember the first time these brethren sat me down in an office and they said, we want to show you believe the sign. Oh, okay. I sat down and boom, believe the sign, all this stuff. And after about 20-minute presentation, they said, well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? I said, who are you trying to catch? Well, those intellectual. I said, God never reveals himself to intellectual people. Brother Branham said the intellectual people are more demon-possessed than anybody else. That's why some of us never have to worry about being demon-possessed. We're not intellectual. We're simple. Amen? Don't tell nobody. It's a secret. Brother Branham said, when I go out and I preach the gospel, and he says, I'm out there in the denominational realms, he says, I say just enough of the word that if they're elect seed, he said, they catch it. You remember the first time you heard about this message?
Yes, sir.
Amen. No man spake like that man. And you heard something. You know what God was doing? Because everything that God did in the beginning, he quickened with his voice. Because God's voice has quickening power. So would it be any different today if God would use a voice again? To take that elect seed and energize it and bring it to life. You remember when you heard this message? Oh. Long-haired, dope-smoking hippie in California. I didn't want nobody to testify to me about God or Jesus or nothing. Because I had tried religion. That's the problem. People got religion instead of a relationship. You remember when you heard this message? And not with the hearing of this ear. You know, do you remember years ago they had all of these pictures and they were symbols and stuff and there was a picture within a picture? Yeah, you remember those? They were really big a few, 15, 20 years ago. I hate those things. Because I want to see the picture. Right? So I remember there was a few brothers and we were walking in the mall one day and they had this picture here with all these symbols and everything. We stop and look and the brother goes, oh, wow. Do you see the horse in the picture? No, I don't see it. And another brother, yeah, oh, I see it. You're joking me. You guys are pulling my leg, man. There ain't no horse in the picture. No, man, really. And then the third guy, he saw it. Now it even made me mad. I was frustrated. And when you get frustrated, you ain't going to get nothing. Yeah. The harder you try to see, the less you see. So he said, so I want you to just see through the picture. I want you to relax. Yeah, I'm so frustrated I could fight right now. Just relax, looked through the picture and everything. I sat there for 20 minutes, didn't see nothing. So I was disgusted. I want to see the picture. A few days later, I'm walking through the mall. I am not going to look because that picture was still there. No, I ain't even going to look. I see it. I had me a revival right there. Brother Branham said, one saw a man and another saw God in a man. He said, but the thing is, both of them were right. It depends on your perception. So now take this tonight of what I've said, and I'm going to mix it again with a little bit of what I want to go to tomorrow morning. But understand, and it came to pass. See, God is letting you all realize that you and yourself are failures. But God is not a failure. He's not a failure. Have I not chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the... I ask you, look around. Look at one another. We're just a bunch of fools sitting here. Ain't nobody big. There ain't mayor of the county. We're just a bunch of fools. But we're fools for Christ. And the gospel preached to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I tell my young people, I said, who cares what they think, how you dress? They're perishing. I said, you come from another kingdom. Amen. So, saints of God, God bless you. Thank you for coming to the house of God tonight. Just a little broke up sermon, but we have to kind of get to know. It's been 13 years, so I got to get to know you. You got to get to know me. But tomorrow, amen, amen, amen. Let's stand together. God bless you. Brother Donnie, come on up here. I'll turn it over. Whoever's taking the... Because I ain't no song leader. I learned that a long time ago. I even have the sisters and stuff. When they play, you know, I have to look at them because I'm one of these that I never... You ever seen people jump rope? And they're doing this, like this, and I would stand there and... jump in. No, I'm... So my sisters... when they play, they have to. When we all get to heaven, right? And they help me. So I'm not even going to try. I'm going to turn it over. God bless you. Who is it, Brother Donnie? Who's going to come here? You're going to take it? Come here. God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Of grace. Got a hold to you. And you swallowed it just deep enough for him to set the hook. Praise the Lord. We got a young brother that's going to be baptized tonight. If they'll come prepare for that. Oh, praise the Lord. No matter where you are, what you're going through, remember the Lord Jesus is mindful of you. Maybe you're like Abraham and you're serving this God, which is so wonderful. But yet it seems like the effects of what you're hearing isn't changing you much. But keep in mind, God cannot lie. Let's sing together while they prepare for baptism. Can we?
I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Right now. I need you, Lord.
This is worshiping now.
I need you, Lord, right now.
Amen. Can we just raise our hands?
We lift our hands.
Lift our hands.
We bow our knees and worship at your throne.
Everybody with all your heart. Oh, I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. With all my heart, Jesus. I need you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I lift my hands and bow my knees to worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Right. Sing it like this. I love you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Right now. Do you love him with all your heart? All your being.
I love you, Lord.
We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Right now. More than money, more than the cares of life. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God. We need you, Jesus. Some need healing. Some need deliverance. We need you, Lord God. We need you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We lift our hands. We bow our knees. Worship your throne. We need you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Might have been 3,000 that day. That same sermon got me too.
Amen.
And it got Brother Ethan.
Amen.
You know, Brother Ethan Bowling, he Brother Ben Lawson started bringing him to the Bible studies and bringing him to church with him. And Brother Ethan was quiet, respectful. And whenever we have the Bible studies, they're kind of extensive. And they go for about an hour. And he sat there intently pulling on the Word. And I was watching this young man, and I was so impressed. Every time the Bible study would be over, he'd come up to me and shake my hand, tell me thank you. And you know, you never know really what effect is the Word is having. And I asked him, I said, Brother Ethan, I said, what was it that brought you to this decision? And he said, I was sitting there listening to Brother Donnie preach the other night. And I just, that's when I knew that it was time for me to be baptized. And he's come tonight in the company of all these witnesses here to take the Lord's name. So let's pray for him. Lord Jesus, my precious brother is coming here tonight to take your name, Lord, to enter into baptism, to be raised anew, Lord. Father, I ask you to prepare this ground that it might receive you, it might receive the promise that comes with the baptism, Lord, of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I lay hands on him right now, believing that your word never bends, it never breaks. It'll be here when heaven and earth pass away, Father. And your promise will never be void, Lord. When you spoke that promise, it was good for eternity. And I believe that's where my brothers come from tonight. And Lord, we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Brother Ethan, based upon your repentance and on your profession of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You say, why is baptism important? Well, I ask you, where do fish live? This is why it's so important that the correct formula of water baptism be restored in the last day. Because why? There's a rainbow trout in there. These rainbow trout ain't going to be dipped in titles. They got to know who their husband is. Praise God. God bless you, saints. It's been so wonderful to be together. Amen. We just come expecting the Lord once again in the morning to speak to our hearts. How many can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord? We receive from God. Amen. We'll sing this little song together as we go and come back in the morning if you can at 11 o'clock. Well, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line that separates darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Oh, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. You're
darkness from the light. I'm so glad.